our First Worship 2024 celebration. We do this every year, and it just provides us Christians an opportunity to be in His presence as the new year goes out and the old year goes out and the new year comes in. And so we hope that you'll make plans to be with us tonight. Amen. We are going to ask you, if you would, please prepare yourself to give of the tithe and offering this morning. This is going to be really the last opportunity this year. What you give today, including whatever you may give tonight, if you give, will be on the 2023 tax statement that you receive. And so just give as unto the Lord as He leads you. If you would, please turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 45. I want to share with you a scripture that I suppose I first found this scripture 30, 35 years ago. And I realized that it was, and I think to this day, perhaps the single most beautiful poetic statement in all of God's Word. It is absolutely wonderful the way that these musicians wrote this. Now, these are in the Psalms. All of the Psalms are songs. And so we're reading the lyrics to songs that David and other musicians, Asaph and sons of Korah, all of them wrote as part of the worship of God. And so in Psalms chapter 45, let's just read it. Beginning with verse 1, the sons of Korah wrote this passage, and they wrote, "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you laid this on my heart today. I thank you for your interruption during my prayer to move me in the direction that you've moved me. And now, Father, I'd ask for your presence as I share and break the bread of life with your people, Lord, that you would temper my every statement and that you would help me to clearly communicate the heart of worship. And Father, we ask you for those that have given in support of this ministry today that you would bless those families, bless those households, those individuals. Return it upon them, Lord, in such a way that they know that it's not a church nor a man, but God Almighty whose attention they have. Father, we pray it all in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things that I have made as touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. That is such a beautiful piece of poetry, but it really explains to us what the heart of worship is. First, let me say this. There is a difference between praise and worship. They are two different things. Really, anybody can praise God. You could just have the old cigar-sucking sinner. He can say, well, I praise God. My truck rolled over, but it didn't break my neck. Praise God that I didn't die. Anybody can do that. But worship is the secret place of the Most High, and not anyone can enter in to worship. It is a place for the blood-bought. It's a place for those who have come through the cross and who walk in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And this psalm really brings out the fact that worship is not a mental exercise, it's not a physical exercise, but it's an exercise of the heart that expresses itself through the mouth. Now, understand something. We live in a very confusing time in the church. I remember first coming to the church and we didn't have instruments and screens and we didn't have all of this. We had a tambourine that the cymbals had broken off of it and a wood floor. And we would stomp our feet on that floor and we'd slap those tambourines and the Spirit of God would come into those meetings and you would hear what I call a holy murmur would rise up from the congregation as people reaching out to God. But over the course of the decades in which I've been saved, I found something that the people of God are now silent. We no longer verbalize our worship. We no longer verbalize our praise. We have satisfied ourselves with giving God a golf clap. But we no longer express that worship. And the sons of Korah wrote here, my heart is indicting a good matter. The word indict, it means to bubble up and overflow. My heart is bubbling up and overflowing concerning a good matter, the good things that God has done, the goodness that he is in my life. But we find too often now that our praise is dictated by what's on the screen. As long as there's words on the screen during the worship, we are singing. But what happens when the words go away? What happens when the words end? Is there any worship left? Is there anything bubbling up out of your heart that you don't need to be led in this? I thank God for the worship team. They blessed my soul. But I do not need them singing. If they stop, I've got something down on the inside. My heart is indicting a good matter. He's been good to me. Whenever they're singing, I always listen to the lyrics and I apply it to my own walk and my own journey. How God has brought me out so many times. First of all, how he saved me at a time that I was in rebellion against him. After he saved me and I backslid, he saved me again at a time that I was in rebellion to him. And in all of my personal rebellions and my stumbling and my staggering around trying to get a grip on Christianity, God has consistently been faithful and he's been good to me. And as I begin to think about that, my heart begins to bubble up. It begins to overflow with thanksgiving and worship for him because of who he is. Because of who he is. My heart is indicting a good matter. Now watch this. See, many times we have the mindset, well, I just worship God in my heart. And that's real. That's true. You can do that. But that's not the end of what worship is. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak. I verbalize. I speak out. Amen. The things that I have in my heart as it bubbles up, I speak those things out whether there's lyrics on the screen or not. Sometimes this is just me, my just how I work with it. There can be lyrics on the screen, but they're not quite saying to God what I want, so I sing my lyrics. I make them up as I go. Amen. And sometimes they're better. Praise God. And when I don't have anything more to say, then I fall back. But saints, here's the heart of worship. It bubbles up from the inside. It's not something you have to be led in. Thank God for the worship team, and they do a wonderful job. But all they do is complement the worship that should already that we bring into the room ourselves. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things that I have made as of touching the king. Get this. As I have made. God is the creator. He gave us the power of procreation. Our worship is one of the few things that we can actually create ourselves. The things that I have made. I have a sentiment in my heart. There's emotion and there's love bubbling up in my heart. And I form that with my vocabulary into words. And I give it back to you, God. That's what worship is. When you show him, oh, God, I love you. I know they're singing something else, but I love you. And I worship you and I adore you. And I want to be like you. And I give you thanks for everything that you've done for me. I thank you for just putting up with me. So you don't find those kind of lyrics. God, you just put up with me this whole time. We need a song like that. The things that I have made as of touching the king. Get this now. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I'm ready to praise God. I'm ready to worship him. If there's no music, no lyrics on the screen, if there's no congregation, if it's just me here, 3 a.m. in the morning, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I don't need anyone else to help me to worship God. I bring worship with me. See, we as the children of God, we've allowed all of our wonderful tools and technologies to silence us. And one of the best things you can do is learn to worship God all by yourself in your bedroom. Amen. I can remember as a newborn Christian, I didn't have a church background. But I found that Al Green a few years earlier had gotten saved and was singing gospel music. And I had a little cassette tape. That's what we had in those days. It was a cassette. And I'd wake up in the morning. I cannot carry a tune for nothing. But I put Al Green in my little cassette player in the morning as I got ready. And I'd sit on the side of my bed and I would just worship God until the tears streamed down my face and I could feel the presence of God coming to the room. See, worship is something you're equipped to do. Worship is thank God for the keyboard, the drums, the microphone. Thank God for all of that. But you have the internal equipment necessary to create the worship of God. And the psalmist said, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And so I want to talk to us today. And I want to entitle the message, Our Hearts, Our Worship, and Our Tongues. Because we've gotten so far away from verbalizing our worship. We fall back to a hand clap and maybe a raise of the hand. And even that, we're very subdued. Our worship now is without commitment. I'm not scolding us. I'm just saying this is my observation. There's a big difference between worshiping God and worshiping God. It's commitment. Now just ask yourself within your own mind, you don't have to do it to prove anything. Am I comfortable like this? Am I comfortable worshiping God like this? Or has my own pride forced me to stay like this? Do whatever you can do. But all I'm saying is that worship is a total commitment. It is a passionate outpour of your love, for God. And I've seen too often that we move away from that. And we allow our worship to just be a time that we comply with what's going on in the room. And they put up lyrics. I better sing those lyrics. Maybe. And if they're clapping their hand, I better clap my hand. And when the preacher says, come on, let's give the Lord some praise. But there's no words. And I want to show you in the scripture today, words are really a requirement to have a full worship of God. Now, I know he knows what's in your heart. But he also knows why it stays in your heart and never comes out of your mouth. In the book of Psalms, chapter 42, again, this is a psalm that's written by the sons of Korah. Again, a very poetic one. I'm just going to read the first phrase. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the waterspout. And what it means that there's in the heart of a true born-again child of God, there's from time to time a deep moving. Something that moves on the inside, just an emotional overflow and outpour, and the deep within is calling for the deep of the presence of God. Have you ever experienced that? Come on, when there's just a time, there's something on the inside and you just want to pour out to God your adoration and your love. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of the waterspout. A closer walk, a greater reality of his presence. Again, I remember it's been not too many years ago, I was watching a video, and again, it was Al Green singing a gospel song and some type of live sermon, and he stopped in the middle of the song and he told this story that's always touched my heart. He was saying he was a little boy, and he noticed that in the mornings, his mother would get up and slip away, and where'd she go? And so one morning, he followed his mother when she slipped away, and he found her at her destination, standing with her hands raised and tears streaming down her face. And she was saying, God, just a closer walk with you. I just want a closer walk with you. She said, there are times deep calleth unto deep. And you don't have to stick to the lyrics that are, sometimes just talk to God. Sometimes let the room just kind of fade into the background and let it just be you and God. Let me ask a question. When's the last time you worshiped and hot tears were streaming down your face? When's the last time? See, thank God for everything that we're doing here, but this is to complement what should already be in your heart, bubbling up, indicting a good matter, causing your tongue to be the pen of a ready writer. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, we find this scene that plays out in heaven during the most crucial and critical time of the tribulation period, about mid to the latter part of the tribulation period. Verse 9 of chapter 7, it says, John says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. All nations, meaning every nationality, is represented. All kindred, every ethnicity is represented. And the people and tongues, all languages are represented. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Now get this. They didn't give them a hand clap. They cried, meaning it was a passionate, emotional speaking out. And they did it with a loud voice, meaning, I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed to praise God in front of somebody else. I don't care. Listen, that's how each one of us should be in our praise and worship of God. You should not care who's looking at you. And here's why. Nobody else brought you out. He brought you out. Nobody else died on that cross. He died on the cross. So what if somebody's looking? We weren't concerned with who was looking at us when we was drinking that liquor. Come on, when we was high and acting a fool, we weren't worried about nobody then. We shouldn't be worried about it now. Hallelujah. God, I worship you and I praise you. See, we allow the world to draw this dark picture of worship. I remember, I think it might have been Mickey Mouse when I was a young child, and they had the Mickey Mouse cartoons, and worship was depicted as these pygmy-type Mickey Mouse people going, they're bowing, salami, salami, baloney. Anybody ever see that cartoon? That's the picture that they painted of worship. But no. Worship is private intimacy with God. And let me see how I can say this. It's important that we be engaged in that intimacy. Let me draw the picture. Imagine a husband coming to be intimate with her, with his wife. And she kind of says, okay, I'm here, while she watches TV and smokes a cigarette. I know, right? It's a valid picture, though, isn't it? Intimacy takes two. God cannot be intimate with you when you're not willing to be intimate with him. And I don't have to talk about passion, right? In that scenario, passion plays a part. Intimacy is not intimacy without passion. And worship is not worship without passion. Emotion. Some of us were so emotionally reserved. I don't want anyone to see me cry because my face is going to be all tore up. You're assuming it's not tore up when you're not crying. Amen. Just get over yourself. Because I can guarantee that if you could just touch heaven, if you could just touch heaven one time, you're not going to care who's looking. You're not going to care how your face is tore up. All you know is I have touched the King. Hallelujah. And that's what worship really is. Worship is not 30 minutes of hand claps and music playing. That's not what worship is. Worship is an intimate intercourse with God in the spiritual set. It's the exchanging of your heart with his heart. It's the secret place of the Most High. The world cannot come into this place. They can try, but at the end of praise, the Holy Spirit will stop them right there in praise. Fine. But only the child of God can enter into that secret place of worship. This is why so many people have no idea what I'm talking about. But as the advertisement for Buc-ee's, when you know, you know. Praise God. So the thought is then our hearts, it all starts within our heart. The heart has to be right. The heart has to be not only in love, but willing to be intimate with God through the expression of the lips. But what's in the heart, Jesus said, it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. If it's not in your heart, you're not going to speak it. This is going to sound hard. I don't mean it hard, because there's nothing to speak. If on the inside it's a dead, cold, dry cup on the inside, there's no anointing in it, there's no life in it, there's no Christ in it, then there's nothing to speak because there's nothing there. But when you've touched the fire, come on, when the anointing is there, when my cup runneth over, you don't care. You say, I'm going to praise you. I don't care who don't praise you. I'm going to worship you. I don't care who don't worship you. Listen, if you can't worship him in this setting, there's nowhere on the planet you're going to worship him. You're definitely not going to sit in a jail cell chained to a Roman centurion and give him worship. But I think it was Paul and Silas in the midnight hour. They was jailed and in a jail cell. They began to lift up their voices and begin to praise God to the extent that the jail began to shake and rumble. And God caused the gates to open and they could have walked straight out. It's the secret place of the Most High. See, don't get... Here's our problem, not just the Christ unveiled, the modern Christianity, we are too comfortable. We're too comfortable. We need some rocks in our bed. And they coming. Have you noticed? Yeah, the rocks are coming. He's going to kind of stir the nest a little bit, shake it up, to see whether or not we're still alive. Amen. Because sometimes in our worship, we come in, we got 1,000 carnal things on our mind. I just don't feel like. Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross. And sometimes our worship can be dead as last year's bird nest. Just dry. Nothing in it. But again, Jesus said it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth has the ability to speak. And when our heart begins to indict a good matter, when it begins to bubble up in praise, bubble up in worship, your mouth will have plenty to say. And listen, it doesn't have to be eloquent. It doesn't have to sound religious. You can use all one-syllable words. Be just country bumpkin with it. God understands country bumpkin. Amen, I should know. It's just the expression, tell him, Lord, I love you. I want to be like you. Bring me deeper. Bring me deeper into your presence. So this should be the heartbeat of every Christian. Thank God for where I'm at. But God, bring me deeper. I want to come closer. I thank you so much that you have revealed yourself to me. But God, show me your glory. Show me a little bit more. Touch me one more time. Oh, that should be the cry of every heart during our times of worship. The book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible. And as I said earlier, it is a book of songs. All of them are songs and poetry. Everything in the book of Psalms. There's 150 chapters. It's longer by far than any other book. And when you go to the last chapter, and you go to the last verse of the last chapter, here's what you hear. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. It means that all of us should have, and we do have, but we should be exercising the capacity of not just having a worship tucked away, hidden in your heart, but being able to verbalize that worship amongst the great congregation. Because when you get to heaven, if you get there, all nations, all tongues, all people, all kindreds are going to be crying with a loud voice. If you're not comfortable here doing that, how would you get comfortable there? Doing that. Hallelujah. Hosea says something in this fourth chapter of his short little prophecy that I hear people quote all the time, and we often don't really realize what he's saying. The first phrase, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It goes on to say, because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. But I want to stick to that first phrase. My people are destroyed. That word destroyed in the original language, it does not mean annihilated or done away with. It means to be made dumb or silent. My people are silenced because of a lack of knowledge. Because most of us, many of us, have not gone far enough in our personal pursuit of the Word of God that we realize who it is that we serve. He's the goodness. He's the one that spoke and it stood fast. He's the one that breathed on a dirt cloud and it stood up and man became a living soul. He's the one that in every one of your situations where you were in trouble, he declared you were the apple of his eye and he watched over you and he brought you out of every trial, every situation when you should have perished. The goodness of God, that's who it is. And we've been made mute. We've been silenced. Our worship has no expression. It's a hand clap. And it's the reading of the poetry and the lyrics on the screen. But what is being indicted in our heart? What's bubbling up from our own hearts? It doesn't mean you have to be out of order. It doesn't mean you have to be ridiculous. It just means there's a reality on the inside that bubbles up through your mouth as you give praise and worship to God. And when the worship singers need to break to catch a breath, and when the musicians need a moment to change the key of the song, my worship just keeps going. You didn't bother me at all. As a matter of fact, if you're really in worship, you may not even notice. There was a time I was thinking about this a moment ago before I came here before you. And it used to be I was on this side of the stage. And man, I got caught up in the worship one time. I was about to preach. And man, I just got caught up in a place with God. And I opened my eyes and I realized everybody was looking at me. The worship leader had long ago already said, hey, pastor, you got to come. I didn't hear it. I was in a heavenly place. Saints, that's something that should happen to us from time to time. It's okay. It's okay. You might have cared, but I didn't. And there comes a time that in our intimacy with God, our spiritual interaction with him, that you should begin to cease caring so much about what's going on around you and find yourself alone with him in a secret place. David said this. Man, this is so good. Now, David had problems. His whole life, he had problems up and down. But he was a man after God's own heart. And he said this in a psalm that he wrote himself, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. I don't care what the problem is I'm going through, I will bless the Lord. I don't care what the government is doing. I don't care what the challenges is. I will bless the Lord. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. In my mouth. In my mouth. Not just in my heart. In my mouth. And saints, that's our guide right there. That's our mandate right there to allow the indicting of what's in the heart to spring up through our mouths and to praise his name amongst the great congregation. Oh my God, heaven is not a quiet place. No, it's noisy in heaven. Yeah, it is. It's noisy. When you read the sixth chapter of Isaiah, he saw the living creatures. He saw I think they were seraphim at the throne of God, and they cried, meaning it was an emotional expression. They cried, holy, holy, holy. You got 24 elders around the throne. They're making noise. You got the four living creatures there. They're holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty who is and was and is to come. Heaven is noisy. And the church on the planet is silent. And that means there's an inconsistency. Now, I will say this. When I say the church, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying that I don't want to be a part of that silent bunch. I want to have a full expression out of my mouth. God, I love you. I don't care. They're silent because I don't know why. I love you. And I worship you. Again, David writes in Psalm 66. Man, he makes it clear. Beginning with verse 16. He says, come and hear. Stop right there. If something is not being verbalized, what is there to hear? You know what? Most of the unsaved world, they've heard songs, but they haven't heard the worship of God. And again, I go back in my own, many years back, 3-4 decades back, when the church came together and worshiped, the voices blend together to make this hum. It's a hum represented by the table of incense where the smoke ascends up, that murmur, that hum of mixed prayers and mixed praise all coming together. It would just go up from the con, and it's the most beautiful sound. It's the most beautiful sound. And so David says, come and hear, all ye that fear God. He said, and I will declare. To declare means that you speak. To declare is not just something in your heart. If it's only in your heart, it has not been declared. I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Now get that. David is saying, I'll give you my testimony. And that's what worship is. This will help you immensely in your own personal worship. Think about the things that God has done. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning of your walk, the day he saved you. And begin to think of all the places where he has interceded, where he's moved that and opened this door, where he's held you back for a season and then pushed you forward to go to your victory. All the things that he's done for you. David says, come near and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth. Cried me, it's a passionate expression. He didn't say, I said, and he definitely didn't say, I thought. He said, I cried, I verbalized it. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. The word extolled means it's an expressed, enthusiastic approval. It means there's an enthusiasm that comes from our hearts. You see, sometimes our silence is indicative of our ignorance and our arrogance. Sometimes we're just too good to praise God. And that's a problem in your Christian walk. I would not want a Christian walk having never known the secret place of God. I got up yesterday morning early and came to the church to pray. And I had a message, and I began to pray about the message that I had. And in the midst of that prayer, God interrupted me. Can you get that? God interrupted my prayer. And I could feel his presence. You know what I mean? When you feel doodads, I could feel his presence. And he said, don't develop that message. Don't preach that. And I said, Lord, I preach whatever you want me. But he didn't give me nothing. And I was expecting him to say, hey, how about this scripture or that? He didn't give me nothing. And so I finished my prayer and I left. And just through the day, he brought back this passage, which I had not looked at in decades, and began to show me how the church has become silent in our worship. Worship is, thank God for corporate worship. It's a blessing and it's wonderful. But worship is also individual. To just come in and watch the performance is not worship. That's good. To just come in and watch the performance, that's not worship. That's you smoking a cigarette and watching the screen as God wants to be intimate with you. I'm just let that sink in. As God wants to have a spiritual interchange with you, And we've allowed all the things that God has given us as a blessing to distract us from what worship really is. I'll read this last verse in Hebrews chapter 13, and then we'll close. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Some would maybe debate that. But verse 15 of the 13th chapter says, "By him, therefore," meaning through Christ and what he's done for us at the cross, "let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually," which is, the sacrifice is, "the fruit of our lips." It means that praise, worship, should be verbalized. Yes, you must have it in your heart. There's no doubt about that. But if you've not been verbal in your praise, if you've not been emotional or passionate in your worship, I challenge you to ask yourself, why is that? Why am I always so subdued? Why is it that I can look at other people? During the worship, I look across the crowd. I see some people beside themselves. I see some people there in the back. Their hands are up. They're dancing. They're leaping. They're praising God. And I see others just waiting for it to be over. At a time that God wants to be intimate with us, we're distracted and we put him on a time clock. Let us offer the fruit of our lips. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we love you so much. I've done my very best, Lord, to share with your people that you've given me. God, challenge us. Let your Holy Spirit come upon our minds and our hearts. Lord, in the weeks, the months, the years to come, and challenge us during these times of worship. Lord, that we might once again not be silenced as a people, but we might be those that cry with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." All over this room, Father, we're in different places, different degrees of worship. God, I ask you now to move by your Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts. Lord, that we might come deeper, that we might come closer, that we might be more passionate in our love for you. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet this morning, all over the room? I'm not scolding anyone today. I'm not beating you up. You are where you are. And where I am today is not where I've always been. But right now, all over the room, I'm going to ask you, just lift your hands to heaven. Say, "God, help me." Come on, just speak it out. "God, help me." Come on, speak it out. "God, help me this morning. Lord, I need help. I want to be open. I want to be uninhibited. I want to be uninhibited in my prayer." Come on, just speak it out to God. You don't have to be afraid. Put any words together that you have. "God, open my mouth. Open my heart through my mouth and help me to praise you. With all that in me is, I'm tired of being silent in the time of worship." Come on, just reach out to the Lord right now, all over the room. Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you've done. Lord, help us to open our mouths and to verbalize how to share the goodness and the mercy and the love that you've shared with us, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you. So thankful for a word, a good word, a word that is truth and a word that pushes us to walk closer with God. And that should be our purpose, our mission every day is to get a little bit closer to Jesus, to walk a little bit closer to him. And worship and praise is a huge part of that. And learning how to interact with God, how to connect with him and allow him to draw us closer. We're so thankful for all of you that have joined us today. We also want to thank you once again to those who have joined us online. I want to remind you, if you haven't had an opportunity to give, that there are several ways you can do that in-house and also online. We want to invite you back tonight to our first worship service. It starts around 11. We'll have people from our 9 o'clock services and our 11 o'clock services, and it's always a packed house, so we want to suggest that you get here early. And then lastly, here in a moment up on the screen, there will be a QR code. And we need to verify your email address for our 2023 tax statements. We want to get those out to you. We want to make sure that we have the correct address. So you'll see the QR code up on there. You can scan it, pulls it up on your phone, takes you about 5 seconds to do. That way we make sure we're sending everything to the right place in the right location. So thank you all for being here with us again. We love you. You're a family. Be blessed, and you are dismissed.